in holding scientific research and discovery in respect as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, Editor-in-Chief. We're off to a good start today with a story about Amazon. Amazon has just been in the news a lot recently about all kinds of different things, crushing industry after industry in America and around the world. Amazon is making a major thrust into the law enforcement arena and into the citizen arena because it has been very successful at selling its so-called Ring doorbell cameras to people all over the country. It's an extremely popular product. And now that people have them installed in their homes, in their front door, so they can see everybody that walks up to the door and everybody who passes by out on the street, Amazon has launched an app that allows users to post their videos onto a public forum, which is also accessible by the police. And so the police departments around the country are loving this because all of a sudden they have at their disposal a complete ubiquitous surveillance network of cameras that they don't have to pay for. Citizens are paying for these cameras themselves. They see their own self-interest as monitoring their front door and whoever comes up to it. But all of these pictures are available for scanning for facial recognition. And the police departments are encouraging citizens to install these cameras. The story starts out on July 12, a few hours before dawn. A man in Chandler, Arizona, which is close to my hometown of Mesa, was jolted awake by an alert on his phone. It was coming from his Ring security camera, which had detected movement outside his home. The live feed showed a group of young men breaking into cars. The man hollered at them through the front door and then called police. As an officer arrived, the men sped off in a car, leaving behind cell phones, tools, and other things that they'd taken during their interrupted burglary spree. They abandoned the getaway vehicle in a housing complex and turned themselves in later in the morning. By then, the homeowner had showed police his camera footage and posted it to Neighbors. That's an app run by Ring called Neighbors, which is owned by Amazon. Ring doesn't just make the wireless security cameras, it also accesses police data to alert residents of potential crimes, encourages users to share recordings of suspicious behavior, and connects them with law enforcement. Thank goodness for the Ring, the man wrote on Neighbors. Thanks for posting, a Chandler police officer responded. The exchange was typical of the way police are using Ring, helping it spread its business while using it to detect and investigate crime. The arrangement in Chandler is among dozens of such partnerships across the country and part of a much broader effort by Amazon to deepen its reach into law enforcement, which critics say is expanding the government's surveillance of Americans, and indeed it is. Amazon, known mainly for its online consumer marketplace, is becoming a potent resource for federal, state, and local authorities peddling an array of tools that harness the power of cloud-based computing, artificial intelligence, and video analysis. And I have to say, there's absolutely no getting away from this. Amazon intends to dominate law enforcement. It has all of the technology in place to do so. The advanced facial recognition technology, the Ring camera network across the country is growing every day. And people are willingly participating in wrapping the police into this. Where's the end of this? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But in the end of it, the era of total surveillance is here. Just wait until police departments use the other side of Amazon's business to apply facial recognition software and artificial intelligence to all of the images that are delivered up on the internet from Ring. Yes, this is total surveillance society coming to a theater near you, except it's not a theater. It's your home. It's your neighborhood. It's your town. Well, we'll switch gears here just for a minute over to Germany. Germany's a place that I'd always hoped to go to. I have not yet, maybe one day. But if I do go to Germany, it's going to cost me a little bit more to eat one of my favorite foods, which is German brats. They make the best, so I've been told. Of course, you can buy them in the United States too, but if you go to Germany, they're going to cost more because Germany intends to slap a tax on sausage to fight global warming. That's right. They're going to combat global warming by discouraging people to eat sausage. The story says German legislators have proposed raising the sales tax on meat from 7% to 19% to fight climate change and improve animal welfare. Research has shown that greenhouse gas emissions from livestock account for a higher percentage of total global emissions than the world's 1.2 billion automobiles, a fact that underscored some German Greens who are pushing for higher meat taxes. I think I want to stop right there and point out, drilling down into the link that says research has shown, you eventually end up at an obscure website run by environmentalists who simply make that claim. There's no scientific evidence for this whatsoever. It's just they made the claim, as if it were fact, that greenhouse gas emissions from livestock are greater than all combined trucks and cars in the world, and that this needs to stop. So, of course, they're trying to get cars and trucks off the streets. They're trying to completely do away with all combustion engines. And now that they have simply made the a priori statement that much more greenhouse gas emissions comes from animals than it does from cars, well, let's attack animals. Let's go after the animals, because if we can reduce the number of animals, then we can reduce greenhouse gas emissions. These people are absolutely out of their mind. This article goes on to say, a United Nations report from 2012 found that the Earth's cattle population generates more carbon dioxide than automobiles, planes, and other forms of transport combined. Moreover, the cow pies they deposit and the wind they break, that is, flatulence, produce a third of the world's methane emissions, considered 20 times more detrimental to the environment. According to Germany's Federal Statistics Office, slaughterhouses in Germany killed 29.4 million pigs, cows, sheep, and goats, and horses during the first 6 months of 2019. During this period, Germany produced 3.9 million tons of meat, led by pork, and the primary ingredient in German sausages. The Greens' agricultural spokesman, Frederick Ostendorf, said, quote, I favor abolishing the VAT reduction for meat and using it, that is, the increased revenues, instead for more animal welfare. The idea of raising meat taxes would be to reduce livestock numbers as well as their gaseous output by discouraging people from eating meat. Last June, Germany's Green Party vowed to ban industrial farming to reduce global warming if it ever were to come to power. And indeed, you know that it will one day, the way things are going today. To them, their logic is perfectly clear. To anybody else with an ounce of common sense, they look at it and say, now, we're going to conquer hunger by reducing the food supply. This really doesn't make any sense, does it? This is basically what they've been preaching all the way along. We need to cut back. We need to cut back on farms. We need to get rid of all the industrial farms. We need to start farming in a different way and give up all of the larger farming operations. We need to go back to what we had maybe in the 1800s. Whether they know it or not, all the promises from the Greens all around the world who say they're going to save the world with this policy or that policy, whether it be reforming the agricultural business or just cutting back on the meat industry. They say they're going to save the world, but they're doing just the opposite. They say they're going to reduce hunger. They're going to create more starvation. They say they're going to save the ecology. They're doing things that are destroying the ecology, just the opposite of what they intend. Whether this is conscious or not, nobody can say except on a case-by-case basis. But the people who truly believe this, I believe, are truly deceived. The last story I want to deal with today is, again, emanating from the United Nations, where all things sustainable development come from. This is also technocracy warmed over from the 1930s. Readers and listeners of Technocracy News and Trends will already know that. But the United Nations has been on a tear to modify land use all around the world. Now, just as a framing for this story, I'll remind you that my opinion of the endgame that was declared by the Trilateral Commission back in 1973 when it was founded by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski was to grab all the resources of the world and take them out of the hands of people and ordinary companies that people own and put all that real estate and the things that it contains, the timber, the oil, the mining resources, all of the wealth of the world, to put it into a global common trust. And the UN promises that they will control the trust, they will be the trustees, and they will make sure that we, the people, get what we deserve of global physical wealth. I can guarantee you that won't be much, but nevertheless, this form of neo-feudalism has been openly on the table ever since 1968, at least 1968. So this story says, human-caused climate change is dramatically degrading the Earth's land, and the way people use land is making global warming worse, a new United Nations scientific report says. This creates a vicious cycle, which is already making food more expensive, scarcer, and less nutritious. NASA climate scientist Cynthia Rosenzweig said, the cycle is accelerating. The threat of climate change affecting people's food on their dinner table is increasing. But if people change the way they eat, grow food, and manage forests, it could help save the planet from a far warmer future, scientists said. Earth's land masses, which are only 30% of the globe, are warming twice as fast as the planet as a whole. While heat-trapping gases are causing problems in the atmosphere, the land has been less talked about as part of climate change. A special report written by more than 100 scientists and unanimously approved by diplomats from nations around the world Thursday at a meeting in Geneva proposed possible fixes and made more dire warnings. The way we use land is both part of the problem and also part of the solution. Sustainable land management can help secure a future that is comfortable. Scientists at Thursday's press conference emphasized both the seriousness and problem and the need to make societal changes soon. We don't want a message of despair, said science panel official Jim Skee, a professor at Imperial College in London. We want to get across the message that every action makes a difference. Still, the stark message hit home hard for some of the authors. We'll stop there just for a moment. When the professor at Imperial College in London says, we don't want a message of despair, you realize that he is absolutely lying through his teeth. This is the only thing that the United Nations pumps out is a message of despair. The world is overheating, the seas are going to rise, the polar bears are dying, drinking water is going to become so scarce that you get a meager ration per day, that your grass will turn brown, that your swimming pools will need to be filled in, that golf courses are not sustainable and will need to be taken off the landscape. This is not a message of despair. I don't know where he gets his rhetoric from. But we see this throughout the United Nations. They give you all of this, the sky is falling nonsense. And then they say right after it, oh, we don't want to give you a message of despair, though. In a children's book, by the way, that's written by the United Nations for children, that is pre-teenage children, has a quote in it from a song. Actually, the song lyrics were created some time ago. But it says that the earth groans every time a child is born. Oh, that's a message of hope. You give that to the kids. That makes them feel really good. When you were born, the earth groaned. Oh, no. Not another person. You see, this is absolutely ludicrous. People in America need to see through this. This is the heartbeat of technocracy. Now, just in case you're thinking that this is something new that the United Nations has cooked up, I'm going to take you on a little walk back in history to a book that I'm holding in my hands right now called The Use of Land, A Citizen's Policy Guide to Urban Growth. On the cover of this book, it says, a task force report sponsored by the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Lo and behold, The Use of Land. This book was published in 1973 by the Rockefeller Brothers Fund in the same year that the Trilateral Commission was formed by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski. The prominent Rockefeller in this book is not David Rockefeller so much as it is Lawrence Rockefeller, his brother. And in the preface of the book, we find out that the Task Force on Land Use and Urban Growth was created actually in the summer of 1972 by the Citizens Advisory Committee on Environmental Quality, that is, a body that was established by presidential executive order in May of 1969. Lawrence Rockefeller, then chairman of the committee, saw the environmental movement as a force of great vigor and excitement, which, if it were to broaden its vision and direct its energies towards urban growth problems with equal commitment, could achieve impressive results. This book goes on to specify what all those results needed to be and how the world could be transformed. And they mince no words. I must also point out that Lawrence Rockefeller was a Republican. So was David Rockefeller. Zbigniew Brzezinski, on the other hand, was a Democrat. The book states, on page 5, the energies of the environmental movement are fresh and powerful, and their victories impressive. If those energies could be focused on the problems of land use and urban growth with the same persistence and sophistication that have characterized pollution battles, who knows what might be achieved? On page 7, it states, although most of our recommendations are for immediate action, we also foresee a need for long-term changes in basic attitudes and values towards land. It is time to change the view that land is little more than a commodity to be exploited and traded. We need a land ethic that regards land as a resource which, when properly used, can have the same ill effects as pollution of air and water, and which therefore warrants similar protection. The message of this report is intended for many ears. We address several recommendations to the President and Congress, most notably a suggestion that they enact and implement national land use policy legislation, providing federal recognition, guidance, and financial assistance to states that undertake the reform of their land use laws and institutions. We have a considerable amount to say to states. For the largest opportunities in directing land use and urban growth lie with that level of government constitutionally empowered to tax, regulate, and condemn land. We have made far-reaching recommendations affecting historic preservation and open space protection, zoning, new communities, and other large-scale development, and lot sales in rural areas for vacation homes, responsibility in respecting natural systems and cultural values and recognizing the legitimate rights of others to move to the places they value, just as our parents or we have done. This book goes on to launch basically every environmental wacko project that we've seen since 1968 that had to do with land use. It's all here. Well, certainly the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and Lawrence himself, with the watchful eye of David Rockefeller, brought the policies that were decided in the Use of Land publication into the Trilateral Commission as part of their new international economic order. We also know that this whole doctrine was fed to the United Nations in the following year, in 1974, when the UN came out with a resolution, a general resolution yet, calling for the creation of the new international economic order, which is exactly the same language used by the Trilateral Commission. And now we see articles like this appearing. This isn't the first, but this is a perfect example. The UN now says that we need to change land use in order to avoid a hungry future. Now, forget the seas are going to rise. This is another bad news story. We're all going to get hungry and potentially starve to death if we don't change land use policies. And what would those land use policies be? Well, go read the biodiversity document that the UN produced in 1994, and you'll get an eyeful. America, wake up. The United Nations is coming for you. And you say, well, the UN is in New York. How can they bother me? If you don't realize it, these policies have been seeded and implemented already in every single town in America. There's not one location that I've ever seen or heard anybody else talk about in America that isn't infiltrated and saturated with Agenda 21 policies already. There are reasons for this, but don't think that they haven't been to your city and sold this bill of goods to your city or your town, or if you live in an unincorporated area, your county, because they've been there. They're already talking to them. And I hate to say, if you don't have a seat at that table, you are on the menu, and they're coming for your property rights as well. A longstanding objective of the new international economic order is to completely take away property rights from individual citizens of the planet. And in America, this means everything, because our entire culture, our entire economic system, and our entire rule of law is based on private property. To the extent that you lose the rights to your property, you lose freedom and liberty. And we're just about out of freedom and liberty to lose. We need to get busy and push back on this stuff. I want to share with you again that I've been selected as a featured speaker at the 5G Crisis Awareness and Accountability Summit. This is not an in-person visited summit in some remote city of the country. This is an internet event that will feature hours and hours and hours of experts speaking on all aspects of the 5G crisis that faces us today. And I encourage you to go there. If you go to technocracy.news, you will see a banner in the very top right portion of the screen with an orange button to click to attend. The conference is free and online from August 26 to September 1, coming up soon. And in the meantime, if you sign up for it today, as I said, it's free. If you sign up for it today, you'll be able to see my video immediately. There are a couple of other videos offered on the same basis, but this is an important conference. If you have any concern about 5G, there's lots of information that you need to hear at this conference. And by the way, I'm not vouching for every speaker. I may not agree with every speaker, but that's immaterial. The point is, there's never been a single source of such detailed information about 5G since we ever heard about 5G. So this is the first. All of these experts have come together, given presentations over the internet. They were recorded, and they're going to be presented back to you so you can make your own decisions on what you can do and how you might protect yourself. So take a trip over to technocracy.news, click on the banner at the top, and put your name on the RSVP list to listen when the free service comes online on August 26. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next week.